You're listening to the Therapist Mom Podcast, where private practice and motherhood collide. I'm your host, Ashley Kamajiz, and here's the deal. I'm not here to give you fluff or hustle culture advice. I'm here to give you strategy to build a private practice on your terms, while naming the hard stuff about motherhood and the broken systems we're stuck navigating. If you're ready for honest, practical, and unapologetic conversations, you're in the right place. Welcome to the show. This episode is brought to you by Jane, a practice management software built to support you and your clients. Switching EHRs isn't something you do on a whim, and to confidently make the switch, you need to feel assured that your data will get imported securely and efficiently. A smooth import makes all the difference, which is why Jane's experienced imports team handles yours with care and at no additional cost. If you do make the decision to switch, they will be there to help every step of the way. I was truly so impressed with the level of support, attention to detail, and customer service Jane's team gave me throughout the process of transitioning my practice to their system. To learn more and explore if Jane might be a fit for you, use the link in the show notes to book a free demo with one of their incredible team members. And when you're ready to get started, use code ASHLEY1MO for 1 month grace period on your new account. Welcome to this week's episode of the Therapist Mom Podcast. Last week was our most recent Therapist Mom Networking Hangout, and we had some really, really great conversations during our event. If you are not familiar with it, it's an event I've been hosting bi-monthly the last few months, where fellow moms who are also in this space of mental health, some of us are in private practice, some of us are wanting to be in private practice or are in agency work or currently staying home with our kids and trying to figure out how can we create a practice around this. But it's a time for us to gather. There's no promoting. I'm not selling anything in there. But just we've been gathering and just talking about, like, what is this experience like of being a mom, being a therapist, being in private practice? What are the things that we're struggling with in our work? What are the things we're struggling in motherhood and the place that that those two intersect? It's a free event I've been hosting. I'll drop a link in the show notes that you can go and sign up to get on the list so that you'll get emails of when the next event is held. But we've just been having some really great conversations. And last week, a lot of our conversation kind of centered around really the part that is that intersection of private practice and motherhood. There were several of us on the call who already are in private practice, and then there were several who are either in group practice and trying to decide if they want to go solo, or they wanted to go solo, but they realized, like, for a variety of reasons, it makes better sense for them to go into a group. And one of the things that kept coming up was recognizing that there can be this idea that private practice somehow makes things easier, right? That, like, if you, let's say you do a private practice that's private pay only, well, now life is easier because you don't have to deal with insurance companies, right? Like, it's so much simpler in this way. Or, you know, in private practice, like, you don't have to work on the weekends or work the long hours that you had to in that community mental health job, or that you were going into people's homes and you don't want to do that anymore. That somehow, like, magically, whatever has been hard about our work as mental health providers is now simple. And our conversation really was about that's not true. That private practice does not suddenly make everything easier, that things aren't hard, but that what private practice does is gives us choice. I think it's just an important thing for us to talk about, because I've seen people go into private practice thinking that this is going to solve all my problems, right? I'm going to make a ton of money because it's better money than it is in community mental health. I'm going to have all this flexibility and time freedom. And those things are absolutely possible. Those things absolutely can happen. When you add in the layer that is motherhood, again, not that those things can't happen, but when you add that piece into what private practice is and can be, it can make things just as challenging, if not more so, in certain ways. If a kid is sick, you can't see a client necessarily during that time, right? Like, if you have older kids and they can stay by themselves, that's fine. But, like, for me, I have young kids. When the daycare calls, And my 2-year-old has to come home. I can't leave her in front of the TV because she won't stay there, right? My 5-year-old, my 8-year-old, they can, they're self-sufficient to a degree. And so this idea that, like, again, all these problems are solved is not the case. There's a lot of hard stuff that still comes, especially when you are navigating things with the life that is motherhood. But one of the conversation pieces that we kind of kept coming back to, though, was this idea of choice. What private practice gives us, again, whether you are a mom or not, but what private practice can give us is choice. It is a choice of how do I want this practice to look? And what do I want to do with it? When do I want to work in it? When do I want to step away? And the freedom to have choice that you don't get when you work for somebody else. Are there parts of private practice that are so much easier because you're in private practice than community mental health? Absolutely. Like, you have freedom to work a 20-hour week if you want to. You also have the freedom to say, I'm only working 1 week out of the month, right? Like, you get freedom. You get freedom of your time, you get freedom of your schedule. But that choice piece, right? That is ultimately what you're getting. You're getting the ability to choose what that looks like. And one of the things that we talked about in this conversation in the Therapist Mom Hangout was the choice around our schedule. One of the moms that was there, one of the therapist moms that was there, was talking about how she was going to be going on vacation soon. And this conversation she was having with her husband about, I'm going to be working on part of that time because I've had several cancellations. Or actually, I think if I remember correctly, it was because one of her kids was sick and she had to cancel some appointments. And so, what happens when those appointments get canceled? That's income she loses, right? And so, when we look at it that way, like, that does not feel good. That does not make sense as a choice or as a freedom to say, I'm just not going to make money, right? But that freedom to choose to say, hey, you know what? Like, yes, we're going on vacation, but one afternoon or like 2 hours during that whole week, I can see somebody remotely telehealth on my computer, and my partner can take care of the kids during that time, and I'm okay to step away. Like, that is a choice that she gets to make that feels right for her. Somebody else was talking about who they are, a military spouse. I am as well. That, like, for those of us who are military spouses, figuring out childcare can be so hard. And that, like, vacation is that one time where she's like, I've got childcare. I don't have to figure that out. Like, I'm not doing the mental gymnastics to figure out, like, who is taking care of the kids. And that during that time, like, I'm okay seeing a couple clients during that. And, for somebody else, they may be like, well, is that true freedom because you're working on vacation and all of that? But what it comes back to is choice. Choice to say, this is what works for me. Choice to say, this is what I want to do, how I want this to look, how I want to run my practice, how I want to see clients. You can say if you want to see clients until, 11 o'clock at night, if that's what works for you. I've not talked a whole lot about this, but when I was starting out back in 2019 all over again. If you know my story, I had started in private practice in 2015, had eventually started a group practice with a few other clinicians in Hawaii where we lived, moved away, had a baby, and left that group practice, and then decided to start my practice all over again, completely telehealth back in 2019. That's the condensed version of it. But when I started that back over, I had a client base and relationships to Hawaii. We were living in Louisiana at the time. But that's where I had relationships. That's where I had already credentialed with insurance companies. And as I was trying to get myself established in my practice in Louisiana, I could easily get clients from Hawaii. Now, if you don't know Hawaii, so where I was in Louisiana, we were Central Time. Hawaii, depending on the time of year, because they don't change with the time changes, would either be 5 hours behind or 4 hours behind, depending again the time of year. And I did not have childcare at the time. My husband was working, he's military. I was like, it didn't make sense for me to pay for childcare yet. So I had a kid who was super good napper. I could get a 2-hour at the minimum, 3.5 hour at the max nap time in the afternoon. So I would typically schedule 1 to 2 clients 1 or 2 days a week during that time. And then I had one evening where I would work late because I knew I wasn't working at all the following day. It was a Friday. My son wasn't going anywhere. We could sleep in. He was a super, super good sleeper at the time. And so I would work late. I would see client. I would end my last therapy session at 2 in the morning on Thursdays. Really, would be a Friday at that point. But I would end my last session at 2 in the morning. I would start at 8 o'clock at night, or maybe it was 9 o'clock, and I would go till then. And that worked for me at the time. Like, I don't know how I did it, but it did work. Like I said, I had a kid that could sleep well. I had one kid. I didn't have to go anywhere on that Friday. And it worked for me until it didn't, right? Until I got pregnant again, until COVID hit and everybody was home. Like, it eventually didn't work for me. And so, where somebody would be like, why would you do that? Like, why would you go into practice and be like, I'm going to see people until 1 in the morning? It's because that worked for me and that's what I wanted to do and that's what I chose to do. And I think we have to consider like the reframe. And this isn't me saying like if you're feeling overwhelmed in private practice, if you're struggling in private practice, that like just look at it as like it's all okay. This isn't like a toxic positivity thing, but to consider if you're looking to go the private practice route of where are the places that I get to have choice? What are the things I want to make choice about? Because that will then help you to design a practice and to build a practice, build a schedule that will align with that need to make those kinds of choices to work on vacation if you want, to work on weekends if you want, to work in the evenings if you want, right? I know a lot of people who are home with their kids during the day and they see clients in the evening. I can't imagine doing that anymore. I'm older, I have more kids. Like I had done that at that time. It's not even in the realm of possibility for me anymore. I don't want that choice. But that doesn't make my practice any better or any worse because I'm not doing it that way. We've all been told we need to network in our private practice, but no one actually tells us how to do it or what to say. Enter Comprehensive Connecting, effective scripts that expand your networking community and actually fill your online practice. This free guide will give you effective scripts to connect with fellow clinicians, medical professionals, and community stakeholders to build strong networking relationships that will help fill your practice. In this guide, you will get tips and tricks for building relationships that will lead to referrals in your practice, real-life examples of messages used to connect with referral sources, and customizable plug-and-send scripts for your specific practice needs. So download your free scripts guide today by going to bit.ly/compconnecting. Like I said at the beginning, private practice is hard, right? And that there can be this idea that like it's going to solve all of our problems. And I've done private practice without kids. I've done private practice with kids. And I can say, having had both experiences, having and running a private practice and building a private practice with kids is a lot harder than it is without kids. And I'm not saying that the hard that it is building a practice without kids is not hard, but it is a different kind of hard. And what I mean by that is building and running a private practice as a mom is doing it in a world that has systems that are set up to not support us as women and moms. We are building this in the structure of patriarchy. We are building this in a world that schedule school to be done at 3 o'clock, and the typical workday is till 5. We are building our practices and running our practices and working with clients that require our undivided attention. And the school will also call us to say, hey, you have to pick up your child because, oh, they've had, 3 loose stools today and they have to go home for the next 2 days, right? Because, like, again, what are you supposed to do as a working parent? And oh, by the way, even though mom and dad's numbers are both on here, we're going to call you first because you're mom, right? The demands of motherhood, separate from private practice, are so much on us. And I don't know a single mom who will tell you that there are not so many demands on you, whether you are stay at home, whether you are working outside of the house. There are just so many demands. And when you add those in the context of the work that we do as therapists and the work that we are doing in building a private practice where we don't have the cushion of, oh, if you don't see a client today, it doesn't matter, you're still going to get paid. That doesn't happen in our work. We are living in a world that does not value mothers, that does not value the roles that we play in society as moms, in our kids' lives as moms, right? Like we say, like, moms are so great, but then we don't have legislation, we don't have laws, we don't have systems that truly, truly support that. And that's a whole nother soapbox that I could go down for a long, long time. And so that's where I see private practice as the way to be able to say, this path I'm on, whether it is in agency work, whether it is working for a larger group practice that has a lot of demands on you, whether it is saying, you know, I want to continue to be able to be home with my child, but I also don't know how to have a career working for somebody else that like wants me to be there at 8 a.m. and stay till 5, and how am I supposed to get to daycare before it closes, right? Like, I don't know how to do that anymore. That's where I see private practice as the ability to say, this system that society tries to have me on as a mom, I'm getting off of that and I'm doing it my own way. I'm building a practice, my own business, not because I think that's cool, not because I think like, oh, I've dreamed of being an entrepreneur or like running a business, but I'm doing this because the systems are not supporting me, so I'm going to find a way to support myself. And those paths to creating something to support ourselves, to saying, I still want to have a career, I still need to have an income, I still want to be able to provide for myself and have financial freedom, doesn't have to simply look like private practice. Again, there were so many of us on the call the other day that there was a wide scope of people, some in group practice, some starting individual practices, some working for a group, some who have been doing several groups but are now trying to add additional things like teaching and courses and products and those kinds of things. And I think a lot of times and again, I've said this so many times, we are so judgmental in our space as mental health providers that we see other therapists doing things like building courses or, you know, trying to go on social media or, you know, just doing things that are outside that one-to-one space. And we can so easily and so quickly be like, oh, who do they think they are? Why are they doing that? Oh, that quote unquote cheapens the profession, whatever it is. But if you ask any of those individuals, and I'm not saying anybody else that's not a mom is not feeling the same way, but if you ask any of those women who are doing that, who are also moms, they will tell you that it is because they are trying to find an additional way to provide income for their family, and that doesn't require them to be in that chair one-on-one all the time. That is 100% where I am, right? I love my therapy work. I also really, really enjoy what I do here on the podcast. And I really, really enjoy my work as a coach and helping those of you that are trying to get your private practices started. Like, I love doing that. And it also helps me to provide income for my family so that I can decrease the number of clients that I'm seeing because my kids have needs, right? I've shared before, I have a lot of neurodiversity in my family. I have a child with food allergies. I myself have health issues. And so I'm not able to sit physically in the chair as long as I have in the past. And so finding other ways to say, hey, if that client cancels, or if the daycare calls, or if all of a sudden, like the school is shut down because, you know, there was a, you know, an outbreak of the norovirus, I'm not terrified of how I'm going to make it by financially because I have additional things to help support me in that. Now, I am not, if you're hearing this and you're like, wait a second, are you saying we need to be hustling to have these additional income streams? No, that's not at all what I am saying. But I'm just saying that being able to say I'm getting out of what is the quote unquote mainstream direction of where I'm quote unquote supposed to go post grad school in this field, and I'm doing something on my own, whether it is through courses, whether it is through teaching, whether it is through private practice, that is simply a way to say, how can I bring in additional income to support myself, to support my family, and that I'm not burning out? We know there is such high burnout in our field, but that's just another way to say, how do I make sure I don't get there? How do I make sure that I can still see the clients I want to work with and not burn out so that I'm not able to do that again in the future? So if you're seeing another woman, seeing another therapist, seeing me do that, I want you to just kind of like remind yourself like that mom is doing this as another way to provide for her family, as another way to help support her work as a therapist, because then she can be more present for the client she is working for, because she's not trying to hustle to fit more seats across from her in that client chair. So whether you are already in private practice, whether you are, in kind of like that curious phase, we'll call it private practice curious, right? Like whether you are trying to figure out what could this look like, or you've already established this, but you're feeling like something needs to shift or change, I want you to ask yourself, like, what are the things that you want your private practice to give you? What are the things that you want to have choice over? Choice over maybe it is your session fee, choice over the ability to say, I'm not available to meet with clients during, the weekends because that is my family time. Maybe it is the choice to say, I don't want to work with a certain type of population because it's too draining now, being a mom, and it's too hard, right? Private practice gives you choice that working for somebody else doesn't necessarily give you. And so again, I'm not here saying you have to be in solo private practice, you have to do this. I definitely am in favor of you having your own private practice because I believe in you having control and ownership of your own assets and your own business, but that may not be the season that you're in. I've been working with some women lately in coaching who they started out on the path saying, I want to build my own private practice. They've put the pieces together and then they realized that the logistics of what their current life is that felt too overwhelming to be doing all the parts for themselves, and that they needed to be able to generate some income a little bit quicker than it was going to take for them to do their own private practice. And so they decided to move in the direction of a group. And I'm cheering them on because that's what they need right now, right? I would love for them to be able to have control and ownership of their own practice someday. Not because it benefits me, but because I want them to have that choice and that control completely. But if that doesn't work for them, if that doesn't work for you, I'm not here shaming. I'm here supporting, right? So again, thinking about that choice, you may say, I want that choice to have the ability to have flexibility in my schedule, but I don't want to be worried about all the logistics and all that piece. Then a group practice may be the thing for you to look into joining, right? Or you may be saying, like, no, I do want to do this thing on my own. I want to have complete control. I want to have a small caseload. I want to go in this direction, but you're not really sure where to go. Reach out to me. There's a link in the bio. You can schedule. It's a free call just to talk about like, what are you looking at? Yes, I work one-on-one with women to help build their practices, but I will be honest with you, if we're talking and it's like, hey, it doesn't sound like that this is what is going to be the right fit for what your lifestyle is or what you're looking for, I'm not going to pitch you on something. I'm not going to try to sell you something or convince you that you need to do this thing because that's what I think is right for you. But it can be confusing. It can be overwhelming figuring out what is that right thing. What is the direction that I want to go? So the first place I want you to again to come back to is, what do I want to have choice over? What do I want to have control over in how my work looks, so that my work supports my life versus my life supporting my work. If you are interested on jumping on a free call with me to just talk through some of this, there's a link in the show notes to schedule that. And let's connect to just kind of see like, what is the next step for you? What might the next path be? And if you already are in practice, if you already are moving along and you've got your practice built, or you're on that way, again, I'm cheering you on. And I just want you to remind yourself that if you are basically copying and pasting agency work without giving yourself the freedom to say, I have choice here, I have the ability to say what works for me and doesn't, to take a step back, reevaluate that, and look at where the places where I need to have the ability to make a different choice, where so that I have actual control over that piece of my life right now. I want to thank you so much for being here today, and I look forward to chatting with you again next week. Thanks for listening to the Therapist Mom Podcast. If today's episode resonated with you, I'd love for you to share it with another therapist mom who needs it. Be sure to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. And if you'd leave a 5-star review, it helps more therapist moms find this space. For resources and ways to work with me, head to raisetoempower.com and check the show notes for all links mentioned today. I'll see you back here next week.